an insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, feed you some football here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, heading into week three of the NFL season. We've been talking a lot, obviously, about the offensive line and the problemos there. What about a right tackle, though, with Roger Rosengarten? John Harbaugh met with the media and says there is some positivity here.
We did. Roger took really good improvement from week one to week two. You know, as a rookie, first game, now second game. I thought he stepped it up and played well, you know, so that was his. Obviously, he's only played two games, but it was a major improvement from the week before, so let's hope he keeps on that track.
No doubt. I think he's going to end up starting this week against Dallas, but he did. He played much, much better. Kansas City, he was like kind of deer in the headlights. And in this game, he's an athlete. That's the thing. He's an athlete. But he's got to have more patience than just – he's always got to go back to your fundamentals and you'll always be okay. And that's the thing that he's got to do in his pass protection and everything. Don't get anxious. They all get anxious, and then they want to reach. And as soon as you reach, boom, the guy's past you.
Yeah, his first snap as an NFL player, Chris Jones just kind of rolled through him like a knife through butter. But you talked about it when we did film study on the Ravens offense. He acquitted himself all right. Not saying we're putting him in the Hall of Fame by any stretch, but he didn't embarrass himself here.
No, he played 17 snaps, Bob, and I saw a one-on-one with Crosby, and he did a nice job. He did a good job in that one. Otherwise, he had help most of the time, which, you know what, if he's starting at right tackle for the next 3 weeks or so, I'm giving him help anytime he's got the main rusher on him.
Yeah, Max Crosby, by the way, was named today as the AFC defensive.
You don't want that as a Raven.
Player of the week. Also staying on the offensive line with the problems there. They're back at practice today. John Harbaugh was asked a couple of days ago. Any changes going on there, John?
You know, we'll look at every possibility as the week goes on. I think we're always going to be searching for ways to make our team better. There's a lot of areas here or there. It's not just in, like, starting and who's not starting. It's in who's playing in what groups, how many reps guys play, what plays they play in. Same thing on defensive personnel groups. So, yeah, we're going to look at everything all the time. I mean, you're always going to do what you can do with the players that you have, the schemes that you have to try to get better. So a lot of times it's changing schemes. You know, a lot of times it's changing drills to try to get better. It's changing workloads for different guys. Giving other guys an opportunity. All those types of things are things that you do.
To me, in the O-line, they got to do something at right. Right guard's, you know, the place that they got to do something at, because that was really bad, and it's been really bad for 2 weeks. So, I mean, they've got to do something there. And we saw last week, Bob, Malik Harrison was taking a lot of the reps at inside linebacker, and this week, not a one at inside linebacker. So that was a change off of, you know, that, hey, he can't handle that. And Simpson played every snap, which rightfully so. Now, scheme-wise, I don't think you can put those corners on an island like that. Oh, I mean, for 2 weeks they've done it, Bob, and where are they at? Last in the league in pass coverage.
David Njoku going to miss his second straight game, dealing with injuries there for the Cleveland Browns, and ankle as they get ready for the New York Giants. And this is a guy that busted out last year. Joe Flacco was mainly the guy dealing those footballs. And we were talking about this. Tua Tagovailoa going on the IR after his third documented concussion. Skylar Thompson's going to get the start for Miami this weekend. And they got, you know, Huntley off the Ravens practice squad there. And I was watching ESPN Sports Center this morning. If he decides to retire, gets his signing bonus, like $40-some million. If the medicals say you can't play anymore, then he gets $160 million. Dollars.
I'm waiting for the medical people to talk to me. That's what, $120 million difference?
Yeah, but when does that happen? Does he, you know, hey, $120 mil is like, hello,
well, let's, Bob, do that. That could happen with it. I mean, he's probably going to have to see at least two or three neurologists, and that'll, I mean, he's on IR for the next four games, for sure. So within the next month, that's all going to be decided. Now, he's either coming back or he's retiring, one of the two.
Now, for the Dolphins, it's an adverse thing for them to lose your starting quarterback, but does this send the season into disarray? I mean, do they have enough? They got weapons at the yin-yang at wide receiver, but we've seen Snoop Hundley. He's not a guy that's going to get the ball down the field. And Skylar Thompson might bring a level of athleticism, yeah. But, I mean, do they have enough with the running game there with Mostert and Achane to do some things, at least stay afloat and wild-card it up a little bit? Mm-hmm. Or are they toast?
No, they're toast. I mean, defensively, they're not that good, Bob. That's a big part of the problem. All their rushers are hurt. And then they got no trigger guy? No. And you know that after a while, especially after a few games, and Tyreek and Waddle aren't getting any numbers, be like, let's just stay healthy. I think they're going to struggle, and I think that helps the Jets totally.
Now, the Hall of Fame, 2025 class, 167 modern-era players were nominated. Be trimmed to 50 by mid-October. Reading the tweet here from Jeff Zrebeck. First-year eligibles include Terrell Suggs and Marshall Yanda.
I think Yanda's got to wait in line, and I think Suggs will have to wait in line.
Others with Ravens ties, Steve McNair.
Yeah.
Mark Bulger. Randall Cunningham, Terry Allen, Priest Holmes, Jamal Lewis, Vontae Leach, Lorenzo Neal, Ricky Williams, Ben Coates, Anquan Boldin, Derek Mason, Steve Smith Sr.
Steve Smith Sr., yeah, eventually he's going to get in, I think.
Willie Anderson, Matt Burke, Haloti Ngata.
Haloti should.
Among others, Samari Roll, Matt Stover, Earl Thomas.
I don't...
Of any of those guys, not Suggs or Yanda, but Haloti.
Haloti would be...
He looked like a Hall of Famer for a while there.
Yep.
I don't know. Steve Smith Sr.'s numbers say he's
I think Steve Smith Sr., he's... But there's a long line of receivers that you kind of got to wait. You know, I don't think he's a first ballot guy, but I think he'll be in line and eventually get in.
And Earl Thomas, you know, let's be honest, wasn't all that great with the Ravens. The play that I remember, where it's two, he knocked out Mason Rudolph up in Pittsburgh, and Derrick Henry shoved him 40 yards down the field in that playoff game. But in Seattle, he was having some pretty impressive first-team all-pro level play there.
Yeah, Seattle, he played well. The Ravens, he stunk. I thought he couldn't run anymore. So I'm the wrong person to ask because I have visions, Bob, of him at the Ravens.
Yeah, and he made the Pro Bowl that year, if you believe it or not.
Yeah, so did Tyler Huntley.
All right, schedule week 3. NFL starts tomorrow. Game you can hear on The Fan. New England's at the Jets. New York -6. And then Sunday's game, we talked about this. Giants at the Browns. Green Bay's at Tennessee. Tennessee -3 in that one. Cleveland's favorite against New York, as you would expect, -6. Colts laying 1 against the Bears at home. Houston laying 2.5 at Minnesota, battle of undefeateds. Philly getting 3 at New Orleans. The Saints are 2-0. Pittsburgh laying 1 against the undefeated Chargers. Pittsburgh's 2-0 as well. You got Tampa, big favorite, 6.5 over Denver. Down in Florida, Carolina's at the Raiders. Raiders 5.5 point favorites there. Miami -2, getting 4 at Seattle. Ravens are laying 1.5 at Dallas. San Francisco's at the Rams, laying 7 against the injury-decimated L.A. ball club. Detroit's at Arizona. I'm seeing upset.
What's the spread there?
Detroit -3. I'm smelling upset. Yeah, it's on the road. I mean, they're road favorites. You know, they do get that NFC Championship game love. Kansas City against Atlanta. In Atlanta, Chiefs -3.5, a game that has much more intrigue based on the fact that the Falcons won at Philly a couple of days ago. Jacksonville's getting 5 at Buffalo, and the Commanders are getting 7.5 at Cincy. 2 Monday night games this week.
Yeah. And Bob, you know what I was thinking when you mentioned Kansas? Where's Travis Kelce been?
He has said that his slow start is all about him. Slow start's all about him, not the offseason escapades. Guy's been traveling around like a world traveler.
Oh, yeah. He's been on Eras Tour or whatever it was.
We'll come back, talk about week 3 of the NFL. Look at the first 2 weeks, some surprises and disappointments with Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com. And then the American League East report and beyond. Yankees are up 4. We'll tell you how that happened last night in Seattle. Twins get a big win, and Detroit's only a game and a half out of that last wild card.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
From CBSSports.com joins us every Wednesday. He is Ryan Wilson. Ryan, good afternoon. What's going on?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's going all right, Ryan. And as we get into like some week two hyperbole, looking at the standings, what's real, what's fake with some of these 2-0 teams, Minnesota, New Orleans, et cetera, et cetera. Steelers, no offense to you as a Steelers fan, and the 0-2 teams like Cincinnati and Baltimore.
Well, it is a wild time that 2 weeks into this thing, the Steelers are undefeated in the division and the Bengals and the Ravens are at the bottom looking up. I mean, you guys know better than I do. I feel like the Ravens situation is one where the offensive line is struggling, and we've talked about that. And the Bengals situation is one where I think I said this back in August, it feels like a series of unforced errors. T. Higgins is angry because he doesn't have a deal. He hasn't played because of an injury. Jamar Chase is angry because he doesn't have a deal. And he helped them lose that game with the penalty he got late when he went after the official with the verbally. And the defense is struggling to stay healthy, and they were already struggling against the run. So coming back from 0-2 ain't easy. And I was talking to Nolan in the break. The schedule doesn't get any easier for the Ravens. And the Bengals situation, this is the third straight year they started 0-2. You're sort of playing with fire if you keep coming out of the gates this way and trying to make the playoffs, much less have a winning record. So those are the 0-2 concerns. In terms of the things that I'm pretty excited about for 2-0 teams, I think Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator for the Saints, has revitalized Derek Carr, and I think that team is for real. And I think the Vikings, I think Sam Darnold, Bryce Young got benched, the situation matters. I think Sam Darnold, who was previously in Carolina a few stops ago, is in the right spot, and that defense is playing lights out with Brian Flores, their defensive coordinator, who Brock Purdy admitted after the game was doing some crazy things he had never seen before. And then Kevin O'Connell helping Sam come along as well has also been fun to watch.
Hey, Ryan, we always talk about the Ravens' offensive line stinking. Now, aren't O-lines around the league pretty down?
Yeah. It's funny, though, Vinny. Your guy Joe Alt is playing out of his mind. The left tackle in college moved to the right side for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. I watched him in week one closely against the Raiders and Max Crosby. Max Crosby doesn't take a playoff ever. And Joe Alt looked like a grizzled veteran, and maybe that's the exception. But to your larger point, it has been, there have been concerns about the scoring being down as well. But offensive line play is incredibly difficult. And when you see, and you guys know this, when you see how rocked up these guys are that are coming off the edge, 240, 250, 260, that run 4.4s and looking the way they look, it's a tall task to ask someone who's 320 and doesn't have quite the footwork to consistently win. And then you start rotating those guys in and out of there along the defensive line, and it gets even more complicated. The Steelers actually benched Broderick Jones and played the rookie last week. He's had some struggles. The Chiefs, their second-round pick, Kingsley Suamataya out of BYU, who started, they benched him in the fourth quarter in the second half because there were no answers for Trey Hendrickson, and he was teeing off on Patrick Mahomes. So those concerns are real, and if you don't have answers for those concerns, it certainly complicates everything else you're trying to do offensively. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson cover up some of that. The difference is that the Chiefs are 2-0 and the Ravens are 0-2 as we sit here.
Hey, Ryan, Nolan asked earlier, why scoring's down and stuff. And I quarterbacks aren't throwing for as many touchdowns, I guess. And I think a lot of it probably has to do with two things, I think. Number one, all these quarterbacks are making $55, $60 million, which means you have no depth. And then two is the offensive lines.
Yeah, and the quarterbacks that aren't making $55 million a year are rookies or young quarterbacks, or they're in situations where, to your larger point, you can't field the roster to be competitive at all 53 positions, and that affects it. And the NFL for years, and you understand why, has tried to make offense give them sort of the edge, because you want to see scoring. You don't want to see 9-6 games. But like I just said, there are so the athleticism on the other side of the ball it feels like higher than it's ever been, and not just with cornerbacks and safeties or even linebackers, but even those front four guys, they're all built like Adonises. I don't know what the kids are calling the guys who are in good shape these days.
Thor maybe, Bob Haney.
Yeah,
that's
the
what
Haney's.
They're calling them.
What's up, baby?
The Bob Haney's of the world. And they're getting after it, and it's tough to ask. And then when you start doing the things like Brian Flores, for example, and bringing these exotic blitzes, or even the simulated pressures that we talk about where you're still only bringing four but you're overloading one side, or you're having guys stand up in the A-gap, and these young quarterbacks don't have answers for that because they didn't see it in college, it all leads to sort of what we saw in that game between the Bears and the Texans, where the Texans, we know who they are. Their quarterback's still on the rookie deal, and he's one of the best players in the NFL. And then Caleb Williams, that offensive line, and the last 30 minutes of that game looked like they hadn't been playing football very long.
Hey, Ryan, what about Arizona, man? They look like, because like we were talking about, you know, Arizona-Detroit, I mean, that's a tough pick now with the way Arizona's playing.
Absolutely, and I think Monty Austin-Forth, the GM there, deserves a lot of credit. Their last two drafts, if you go back and look at the guys they selected, home run after home run. And like anyone can pick Marvin Harrison Jr. and feel good about themselves, but they got Paris Johnson Jr. last year, who started at right tackle as a rookie, and he made a ton of strides. And I think the bigger issue for me, guys, is that Kyler Murray, maybe he's the exception when we talk about these smaller quarterbacks, and Baker doesn't even count as small when you're talking about Bryce Young and Kyler Murray situations because of the athleticism and the arm strength. Bryce is average physically. There are some things that stand out when you watch Kyler, and we saw that certainly against the Rams. And, yeah, the Rams are banged up with injuries, but that's not the Cardinals' fault. And Kyler went out there and executed. He made some great throws, and Marvin had some great catches. James Conner's playing like he's still at Pitt, the way he's playing. And that defense, there are going to be some questions there in terms of how they grow. They had a chance to beat the Bills in week one, and then Josh Allen happened in the second half. But to your larger point, that division feels pretty wide open with the injuries going on in San Francisco and L.A., and also with how the Seahawks are playing with Mike McDonald, who you guys know. Yep. I heard him talk a few times, and I feel like that guy – there's nothing you can show him that he hasn't seen before he won't have an answer for. And that's also exciting if you're a Seahawks fan.
Now, Ryan, what about your Steelers? Now, to me, this may be Sunday's game, Chargers-Steelers, maybe over in 2.5 hours, maybe 2 hours, you know, because there's going to be no passes thrown.
It's going to, if you like 1960s football, this game is going to be the game for you because it's going to be a throwback. It's going to be fun. I think Jim Harbaugh's been a fun story. And the proof's in the pudding, man. You hire him, you're going to win games. It doesn't matter what level. Doesn't matter what the roster looks like before he gets there. He has a plan. He sticks to it, and the players seem to buy in. I think if you're talking about who should be the quarterback in Pittsburgh, here's the thing. Justin Fields hasn't been perfect or pretty necessarily, but he hasn't turned the ball over, and he gives you an advantage running the football. It is extremely ugly offensively. Now, he's made some big-time throws, all of which were called back because of penalties of one sort or another. But I think, like a lot of what we've talked about today, you just lean on the defense. You lean on Patrick Queen, T.J. Watt, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, and then you don't turn the ball over, and you run it 35 to 40 times, and you go from there. To your larger point, Vinny, I think this has a chance to be a 120-minute game because of the things that you're talking about.
Hey, Ryan, you know what? A team that's really surprised me, because I thought they were going to be down a little bit this year, you know, with their losses and the injuries. Buffalo. But, I mean, Buffalo's looked good the first 2 weeks, and they've got Jacksonville at home Monday. Then they come on a short week to Baltimore.
Yeah, Jacksonville's lost 7 of 8, and the only team they beat in those 8 games are the Carolina Panthers. So there's going to be some questions, serious
wish
questions.
They would have drafted, do you think they wish they would have drafted Hutchinson?
Right, absolutely. Teron Walker went first overall. Hutchinson went second. Hutchinson had 4.5 sacks last week against Baker Mayfield. Yeah, I think they overthought that one, and they're going to have to be some tough questions to answer if they continue along this path. But the Bills, I mean, the obvious answer is Josh Allen. I think the defense has played better than perhaps they thought because they lost a lot of veterans. Matt Milano's still banged up. Yeah. They lost him last year. They lost the safeties. And those young guys have stepped up. The edge rush was a concern, but Greg Rousseau looks like a man possessed. I was there at training camp, and he was flashing. He flashed in the preseason. Ed Oliver is exactly who he thought he was. And I think offensively, they've had a you talk about running back by committee. You have a wide receiver by committee and with Stephon Diggs now in Houston. And Stephon Diggs wasn't lighting the world on fire the second half of the season, but the offensive line is really good. Josh Allen can get everyone the football, and I think James Cook helps alleviate some of the concerns with Steph Diggs as a receiver coming out of the backfield. And Ray Davis has been a fun story out of Kentucky, the running back they drafted. I think this team is pretty well balanced, and if they stay healthy, Josh Allen's going to take you as far as you want to go. You just got to win a game in January once you get there against the Chiefs.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Ryan, on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny referenced Jacksonville. Houston's 2-0. They're at Minnesota. This should be a fun game for sure. But where's the challenge coming from in the AFC South with everyone looking for their first win? Houston already a two-game lead in the division here.
The Texans are going to battle for the conference. That team is legit, and we saw them get after it on prime time. And I think D'Amico Ryans has that defense balling out, which is a better unit than it was a year ago, which is crazy to think about. They have a lot of young players who are excelling, and I think offensively we know who they are, and they have a run game now with Joe Mixon. C.J. Stroud is one of the best players in the NFL, and this has been a fun story, and perhaps a story that owners should look at who are trying to rebuild rosters and not in the process burn things down. I'm talking about David Tepper. You can do it quickly, but you have to make sure you have the right people in place and you draft the right players. And, you know, finding a quarterback is incredibly difficult. I understand that. But kudos to what they've done in Houston, because that was a two-win team coming into last year, and now they have a chance, legitimate chance, to be a Super Bowl contender.
Ryan Wilson, what's happening at CBSSports.com heading into week three of the NFL season? I'm sure the mock drafts are flowing like water right now, too, man.
Yeah. Tomorrow, podcast, twice a week, me and Rick Spielman with the first pick, talking draft. We'll be doing a little college review of the quarterbacks and looking ahead to this weekend's college act. USC-Michigan going to be a big game. Watch it on CBS, guys.
There you go.
Blowout.
Free plug. Hey, Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Always enjoy the time. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. There's Ryan Wilson, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East report and beyond. Yankees are now four games up on the Orioles in the American League East. We know what the Orioles did. They got blown out at home by the Giants. But New York breaking out the whipping sticks in Seattle. Minnesota got a much-needed win. Detroit just won't go away. And the Mets are starting to separate from the Braves.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
Top your AL East report and beyond, because it's not all about the division anymore. Still up for grabs, but the Yankees starting to maintain a nice little advantage here as they win last night Seattle, which we'll get to in a second. But yesterday, last night, Camden Yards, 10-0. Blake Snell, outstanding. Six innings pitch, one hit, 12 strikeouts. Orioles couldn't generate any sort of offense. Jim Hunter pointed it out. Of the five hits the Orioles had last night, three were of the pinch hit variety. Heston Kerstad had a couple of knocks. That was good to see. Giants come into Baltimore. They lost four in a row. They were shut out in three of those four losses. Had three runs in the other. And then put 10 up on the Birds. Things got pear-shaped for Craig Kimbrel late as the game got out of hand. Orioles, however, their offensive woes continue on. They've scored two runs or less in seven of their last 11 games. So the woes continue on for the O's. Dean Kramer tonight trying to give the Orioles a quality start. Albert Suarez has still been one of the good stories for the Orioles here this season. Not so much last night.
No.
Got to him a little bit. Yastrzemski took a deep second pitch of the game. 3 1/3, 6 hits, 4 runs. All of them earned. Bullpen till Kimbrel, Aiken, and Birch Beer, and all those guys were doing what they had to do. And then Kimbrel kind of let it get away a little bit. But 10-0 final score. Dean Kramer, 7-9 with a 4-10. He's been outstanding as of late. Only blemish was the one that left a blemish when he took the liner off his pitching arm. Big old softball size knot, that hematoma, as they call it. Orioles 84-67 on the year, 42-34 here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. San Francisco, Hayden Birdsong, hard-throwing right-hander, young guy, 3-5 with a 4.74. San Francisco 73-78 on the year, 32-41 on the road. 5:30, Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. 6:35, first pitch. Me, Mike Borda, Joe LaCroix, Donna Pickles. Only a couple more shows to go, so come on down, say hi to us, because we won't be around again until the playoffs. Right. Whenever that's going to be.
And it's cheeseburger.
Oh, it's cheeseburger day.
Yes.
National cheeseburger day. And as Vinny can tell you, Nolan too, that cheeseburger down at Pickles Pub's pretty thumbs up, right?
Oh, it's better than thumbs up. Like two thumbs up.
I had plans to get one last night. Unfortunately, derailed, but I'll try my best to get out there and get one more cheeseburger.
Yeah, they're so delicious, you'll want to eat your thumbs because they're attached to said burger. But last night in the division, Yankees in Seattle, and Juan Soto hit a milestone.
That one's driven out to left center field and deep. Going back, J-Rod, turning, looking, see ya! He checked the box. He's now homered in every ballpark in baseball. A two-run blast, and the Yankees lead 6-1.
10-0 was the Orioles. 11-2 turned out to be the final score there. Juan Soto, not only is he homered in every park, that was his 40th homer of the year. As New York blows out the Mariners, that's Yes Network Michael Kay on the call there. And Seattle needs these games because they're right outside the wild card threshold. Minnesota, same thing. Still in it. We'll get to the standings in a second. But after losing the opener to Cleveland, bounced back nicely last night.
Castro unloads to right field and deep. Beckett goes and gone! Willie Castro comes up with a huge September swing.
September swings are good swings. Orioles, 4-1 final score. Twins over the Guardians. Willie Castro, two-run jack there as Twins get a much-needed big win. Detroit's taking on Kansas City. Kansas City's breathing down the Orioles next year. And Detroit's breathing down Minnesota's next. It might be breathing down Kansas City's when it's all said and done, but the Tigers got some late heroics.
Broken bat flare, left field side, down for a base hit, the Tigers lead. That probably does not get the run home without the balk. Parker Meadows comes through.
Valley Sports, Parker Meadows, big base hit late. Tigers edge the Kansas City Royals 3-1 as they take that game after rolling through the Orioles 2 out of 3. They've been playing as well as any team in baseball as of late. And the Mets, hey, feel-good story, you want to call it that or whatever. Tons of injuries, but taking on the Nats last night, Pete Alonso did Pete Alonso stuff.
And he rockets this one out to left field. Back goes Wood, back to the wall, and it's out of here!
SNY on the call, 10-1 was the final score as New York beats the Nationals. Cincinnati beat Atlanta 6-5. So let's get to your standings here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Divisions, Yankees 4 up on the Orioles. You've got Cleveland 5 up on Kansas City. Same with Houston over Seattle in the West. You got Philadelphia taking on the Mets, holding off the Mets, trying to anyway, 8 up. Milwaukee could clinch a playoff spot today with a win and some other things. They're 10 games up on the Cubs. And then you got the Dodgers now 3.5 up on the Padres. Right now, that's the closest division in baseball. And the wild card fun for you, Orioles, Royals, Twins are in. Detroit's a game and a half back. Seattle tucked that loss to the Yankees. They're now 3 off the pace in that one. In the National League, it is San Diego. It's the Mets, and now the Diamondbacks tied. I guess the Mets would hold the tiebreaker there. And Atlanta's 2 back. So things starting to crystallize here with about 2 weeks left in the regular season. Orioles need a win tonight, 5:30. Baltimore baseball tonight. Salvo Auto Parts. Me, Mike Bordick, and Joe LaCroix live from Pickles. It's National Cheeseburger Day. Come down, get a cheeseburger, and listen to us talk about the Birds and the Giants. We'll come back, take a trip to the Funhouse. Inside Access takes over at 2. Orioles trying to get off the schneid offensively tonight against the Giants, trying to win a game however they can win it as they try to hold off Kansas City. Futile attempt, I see it, to catch the Yankees, but you never know. That's why they play the games. Dean Kramer's got to be big. Then again, the offense needs to show up to the party here. We'll be talking about that tomorrow. Terps hosting Villanova Saturday. Game again here on The Fan. Maryland 19.5-point favorites over the undefeated Villanova Wildcats, but they're leveling up here, taking on the Big Ten Terps, who then go to Indiana. And then I guess we can have a more thorough discussion about that matchup. They go to Bloomington.
Well, what I'd like to see Saturday, Bob, is your just be more physical than Villanova. Just beat them up physically. You want to get your run game squared away, you know, because they've been struggling running the ball. Let's get him get about 150 yards.
BBT tonight for Pickles, 5:30, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Meet Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, Joe LaCroix. Stop by, say hello. Looks like we will be outside. It's going to be cloudy, but the rain is going to hold off, it appears. So that's some good news. Now, Vinny, you're going to be off for the next couple of days. Tell everyone what's going on with you.
Yeah, I'm having a tomorrow morning. Actually, I'm having a procedure done, an ablation. And what's an ablation? Ablation is, I went to see the electrophysicist because since my heart surgery, when I work out, I get like a rapid heart rate. So it's not atrial fib, it's AVT, something like that. It's basically induced by exercise and stuff. So he's going to go in there tomorrow, or not go in, but they go up through the groin or whatever, and they burn a, like, I have a passageway in my heart. I have two. Everybody else has one. I was the unfortunate one to get two. You know, I had one less valve and one more passageway in my heart. So they got to go in there and burn it to close it, so that I only have one. So the electrical system in my heart then is normal, and it doesn't go in different directions or whatever. So I don't have any racing anymore, which I can't wait, because I want to get back to just being normal.
Yeah, usually they're unclogging things.
Yes, in the heart. They're clogging.
Well, best of luck to you. Yeah, I know it's got to be scary. You know, I'm peeing my pants just going to the dentist half the time. But you're getting another cardio procedure, so good luck there. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the audience? Or are you ready to rock and roll with that funny house of yours?
Well, I mean, this would be very Orioles, but tonight facing Hayden Birdsong, starter there for the Giants. The Giants have not won a game that he's appeared in since July 27th. So all through the month of August when he pitched to an 8.68 ERA, no wins, boy. Two starts so far in the month of September. They didn't win either of those. Again, this is independent of his individual record as a starter. They just haven't won in general when he's on the mound.
So we've been there before. There was another pitcher,
pick anybody. You know what I mean? Know the guy's going to come out because he throws hard. He's a little erratic, but he'll probably be on point.
The only bird song I want to hear is Orioles Magic tonight.
Or we can talk about Otis Birdsong, former great guard for the Kansas City Kings and New Jersey Nets way back when. Houston Cougar. All right, let's go to Fun House.
Quick Draws, Fun House. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Chuck in Virginia says, I can't be optimistic anymore when it comes to the Orioles. For a while there, every game I was hopeful, thinking that that would be the one where they finally turn it around, get back to showing the talent that they do have. At this point, I think if they make the playoffs, it might be more devastating than last year. They will get embarrassed again on a national stage.
Well, they get embarrassed this time. It's kind of going to be expected. Last year to get swept was unexpected. And I don't think, you know, being pessimistic is against any sort of Baltimore baseball fan rules. They're 7 games below 500 for almost 3 months here. The record speaks for itself. They can't score. They're not as good as they were last year, and it's just the way that it is. But anything can happen, right?
This texter here says, Kerstad picking up 2 hits last night, so I'm going to assume that Hyde will have him back on the bench tonight. So someone more important like Eloy Jimenez or some other player who will be released at the end of the season actually gets to play. Even if this team somehow makes the playoffs, which, I mean, they will, 99% chance, Texter says they'll be one and done. Changes need to be made.
Well, or they need to get healthy, and they're going to have some free agency issues and arbitration figures to address. Hey, Kerstad was on the playoff roster last year, and I think he might be – he batted cleanup, what was it, Sunday when he came off the IL?
Yep.
I'm guessing Heston Kerstad's going to be a strong, strong part of Brandon Hyde's lineup. Now, will he get pinch hit for? Well, you know how Hyder likes them matchups. And boy, I can't wait to hear how the exit velo from that single to right from Eloy Jimenez is. 104 to right field. He don't even do that anymore, does he? Was he one for September or something?
He's got to watch out. If he hits it too hard to right, Bobby will get thrown out at first.
Oh, God. Yeah. I think I've seen enough of that movie.
Ron in East Baltimore here with some thoughts on the Ravens. Says people always ask when it comes to the coach, who are they going to get if they fire John Harbaugh? Well, who did the Steelers get after they fired Bill Cowher? Who did the Ravens get after moving on from Brian Billick? There's always someone else out there lurking. He adds here, hashtag fire Harbs.
That ain't happening. It's 0-2. They're going to go on a winning streak here.
This one, we'll close with this. Texter says, I think there will be changes coming to the roster, the Orioles, that is, in 2025. Including a new manager in the dugout, as well as a coaching staff. I would hire Buck Britton for manager, especially since he's managed and is familiar with many of the young players on the Major League roster.
I would bet anything, any wager, that Brandon Hyde's going to be the Orioles manager next year. He's not getting fired. That's not happening. You can wish for it, just like a lot of you want John Harbaugh gone. So, let me break this news to you. John Harbaugh wins another Super Bowl. He's going to Hall of Fame. Yeah.
And Hyder's won Manager of the Year 2 years in a row.
That's correct. Nobody's getting fired around here. I don't think. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Turner, our Total Request Thursday Inside Access coming up in a matter of minutes. And then Baltimore Baseball Tonight, live from Pickles, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, me, Mike Bordick, Joe LaCroix, 5:30, getting you ready for the Birds and the Giants. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, classes.